The Emperor has been expecting you.
Welcome to Hyperspace Hangout, a podcast by Star Wars fans for Star Wars fans.
Hey there, Star Wars fans, welcome back. As there is so much Star Wars news to talk about today, it is insane. The sheer amount of Star Wars news is crazy to talk about today.
I'm baffled. I am honestly like some of the stuff that I'm reading here, I'm just kind of catching up after a long day at work, and I don't know. I'm all over the place right now. I'm mixed. I need to sift through a lot of this stuff. What's going on, man? What is going on?
So, you know, I'm at work, and I was staring at a computer screen all day, which is why I have these glasses. Literally block out all of the possible light you can imagine. So that is why I'm wearing them, for no other reason than that. It's like, right. But I need them. Otherwise, I think I'm giving myself eye damage. Anywho, I think I gave myself brain damage after I was reading some of the freaking things that are coming out of this like Vanity Fair article today.
Right.
So there's a lot of big Star Wars stuff. So some of the cool stuff, by the way, is we got the cool picture of like Mando and Obi-Wan and Hayden and everybody, like Ahsoka's there, and they're talking about the sort of the future of Star Wars, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But
right. Yes.
They started talking a little bit, and some of this is like a Kathleen Kennedy interview about like the direction of Star Wars, mm-hmm. like looking mm-hmm. back at where we were and looking forward to where we're going. Right. Like the direction of Star Wars. And some of this stuff let me put my reading glasses on now, just so I make sure I read this right. So the big one for me, the one that stood out for me was talking about Solo and why Solo failed, because you and I have talked about this at lengths before about the reasons we think Solo failed.
Mm-hmm.
So reading from the article here. Now, this isn't Vanity Fair itself. It's just IndieWire.com, but it, you know, so it is sort of paraphrasing and using quotations from it. So just so we go. So sometimes it just takes a Solo mistake to learn a franchise long lesson. Kathleen Kennedy is reflecting on the prequel movie Solo, a Star Wars movie, which dove into the origin of Han Solo, played by Alden Ehrenreich. As a precursor to Harrison Ford's iconic iteration of the character. The film was plagued with reshoots after co-director Philip Lord and Chris Miller unexpectedly left, right? They bring in Ron Howard. You know, it says there's moments along the way when you learn things, Kathleen Kennedy says. Now it seems abundantly clear we just can't do that in terms of like recasting the character. You know, the Book of Boba Fett, Mark Hamill continues to play the character using deepfake technology. It seems the only iconic Star Wars staple character you could successfully recast is Baby Yoda, right? She goes on to talk about stuff, you know, talking about the Acolyte, which is coming forward. There's going to be news about, you know, a lot of this other stuff. Anywho, the thing that stood out to me, because this article sort of jumps around a little bit from the thing, but, you know, Ron Howard replaces the duo after an excruciating production process. Lord and Miller tried to lead with an improvisation and more experimental filmmaking techniques to honor Han Solo's maverick persona. Ultimately, Solo made less money than any other Star Wars movie at the box office upon release. So here is my issue, and this is an issue we've talked about. First of all, I will go ahead and say I love Solo.
Me too.
I will say that Solo is my second favorite Star Wars movie, and I just love it. It is just, it's like the perfect pop on, sit down, have a good time. I love that it's a standalone thing, because I don't have to go back and with Star Wars, I can just pop on Empire Strikes Back or whatever, but I just love Solo. I think Alden Ehrenreich is phenomenal as a young Han Solo. I love Emilia Clarke as Kira. I love Woody Harrelson. I love that we see Darth Maul. I love Paul Bettany as Dryden, or as Dryden Vos.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I love we get Chewbacca. It's funny. It's sort of that like perfect just Sunday. You're doing laundry, you're meal prepping, you want to put on a sort of action movie while you're doing stuff. It's just fun. That's the easiest way to describe it. So I would have to say that her making the argument that, like, you know, making the comparison and talking about Solo being the biggest Star Wars box office making the least amount of money, and sort of saying, well, it's because we recast characters, is a cop out of the producers' failures to understand the market and make decisions, whether that's Kathleen Kennedy or Bob Iger
right
at the time. But I would say, you know, I'm about to say Kathleen Kennedy on this. It's so bad as that we, you know, anytime you start to criticize Kathleen Kennedy, a lot of people come out of the woodwork and say, hey, you're just criticizing her because she's a female. Well, let me tell you, all of the people that we follow on Twitter that are like that are blaming Kathleen Kennedy over this one today. Because the line on this, Kevin Feige gets all the praise at Marvel.
Yeah.
Nobody says it's Bob Iger and Bob Chapek. They say Kevin Feige. Well, in this case, Kathleen Kennedy is the Kevin Feige of Star Wars.
That's true.
So,
yeah,
the blame is on this one, is on Kathleen Kennedy. Why you chose to release Solo. I just pulled up the numbers here because you and I were talking about this.
Yeah.
It came out just about a month later than Avengers Infinity War. And it also came out months after The Last Jedi. So it was like Christmas for The Force Awakens, Christmas for Rogue One, Christmas for The Last Jedi. Then a few months later, we got Solo.
Right.
And then you put it after Avengers Infinity War. So this is the Avengers Infinity War box office numbers. So the weekend that Solo came out, Avengers Infinity War still was ranked as the second and third best movie and made $20 million.
Right.
And continued to it dropped down to four, still stayed up as three. Like the Avengers movies, especially Infinity War, which was like the first big mega, like, here we go, the final showdowns coming down the pipe that you've been watching, you know, 20 movies for is here. So whoever thought it was a good idea to release this movie within 1 month of that is a moron. I don't know who it was, but they are a moron and they should have been fired. As a Disney shareholder, they should have hunted that person down and said, you are a moron and you deserve to be fired.
Yeah. The thing is too, like after The Last Jedi, Matt, I mean, it was such a controversial, you got the reviews coming out after, I know what you're going to say, which is like, you know, still it alone, the in-game situation
is stupid. That on itself is moronic.
Right. Right. I think though, you have that, it's already going to be competing. What I'm trying to say is you back up to The Last Jedi and you say, okay, reviews are coming out. This is bad. Star Wars fans are not really liking it. There's the Luke Skywalker thing. I don't know if you can pull it in that amount of time, push it back or whatever, but then you're also like, okay, that didn't land well. And we're trying to launch this thing at the same time as Endgame. Could they have called an audible? I don't know how all of that kind of stuff works, but still, it's just like, wow. And I mean, Bob Iger did come out and say, we need to slow things down. They're not going to come out and point fingers. Right. They're not going to do that kind of stuff or whatever. It's up to, you know, people are kind of looking at it and saying, you know, I mean, because I believe Kathleen delegates that to people. Maybe somebody was fired for that. Maybe something did happen, but it's like, I don't like the fact that now we're trying to say it was because of casting and recasting.
Okay, so let's look at Disney's slate of movies for the rest of 2018, okay? Because sometimes you say, well, you don't want to run into, you know, like, okay, we have like a big movie a month, whatever. But we just saw, keep in mind, we just saw Warner Brothers reshuffle years of movies, right?
Yeah.
Because they want to move stuff around for DC and stuff like that. Okay, so their May movie is Solo. Okay, so you go to June, Incredibles 2. You obviously don't want to go up against that because that's like going to make an insane amount of money, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Fine with that. You don't want to make it your June movie. Okay. In July, you have Ant-Man and the Wasp, your next big Marvel movie. Okay. You don't want to go up against that. Let's look at August. What do we have? What do we have for Disney in August? Does Disney even have a movie in August? Christopher Robin. Why couldn't it have been the August movie? Why couldn't it have been everyone's going to school? You know, like whatever, you're getting up. Like, it's not even like anybody else, any of your other competitors, like Warner Brothers or all these other stuff, has any like big movie coming out. Right. You know, you continue to go down the list. September, you know, Warner Brothers is releasing all sorts of junk. Everyone else is releasing junk. Nothing really going on. Disney doesn't even have a movie in September. You go to October. You know, Disney, again, nothing going on. November. Now, a lot of times they will release big movies in November. Disney tends to release their big movies in November. They typically don't go big in December unless it was, say, Star Wars in terms of Marvel, right? Like Marvel is typically like May, and then November seems to be their big movie here. So they released, Disney released The Nutcracker and The Four Realms. And then they released Ralph Breaks the Internet. Okay, that's your big mega like Pixar, right? Or whatever movie. Whatever. But like, I guess my question is, why wouldn't you shuffle some of these things around? And why wouldn't you have Star Wars, which had consistently been a Christmas movie? Mm-hmm. Right. Why would you not do that? Because what they were actually released in December was Mary Poppins Returns.
Right.
Which seems incredibly weak to me.
Yeah.
When you could have had it been Star Wars.
Right. It seemed like they, because I remember back when this was happening, they wanted to kind of go like, okay, they wanted this. They look at all the stuff they had mapped out. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And it was going to be December, May, you know, back again, maybe something in the fall. Who knows? Like they were pushing out a lot of stuff. They wanted to go quick and fast. The very simple of this for Solo is it's Endgame. Sorry, it is all of those movies. Anyone who watched
it was Infinity War. Yeah.
Or The build up to all those movies, right? All of those are headed towards Infinity War. People have invested all that time. Sorry, and they're going to go see this movie. It's like that's part of the problem. It's overshadowed. It's overshadowed by that experience. It's not necessarily today. See, okay, because I was very happy to hear like. Okay, you make some missteps. And when I heard them say that they made some missteps, I thought, okay, they're acknowledging that maybe they scheduled this in the wrong spot. Now what it seems like is the missteps are recasting issues. And that I don't think is the case at all. I'm like, that's worrisome. Well, because this all ties into Luke Skywalker and whether we're going to get a young Luke Skywalker and all these other things. And I think it's just like...
Exactly. I think the problem with Solo was a compounded thing. One... Had Solo been released in December, it would have made more money, but it still would, as we've said, and we got a comment here from Eric Brown, for those of you guys, I know some of you are listening on the podcast, but we're doing this live on YouTube today. Eric Brown, Solo should have been in December. It would have been much more well-received. The Last Jedi Division tarnished Solo's reception as well. And that's exactly the point. I know we have some new people joining us here on YouTube, but that's what Ezra and I were saying is, first and foremost, the release schedule itself.
Yeah.
Like having it that close. Here's the Avengers Infinity War numbers. I mean, first of all, Friday, April 27th made $106 million. I mean, that's obviously ridiculous. But look how strong this movie was. It went all the way from April 27th to May 17th before it even fell to number two. And then it still bounces between two, three, and then four once Solo comes out. Like it was just that in itself was to me is stupid because you don't know when you're planning this out, when you're going to release it, you don't know that going into it, that The Last Jedi is going to be as divisive as it was. That obviously hurt as well. But after you had The Last Jedi divisiveness, why wouldn't you have pushed the movie back again?
That's what I,
just to keep it a little further away. So you've already, whoever decided it should be this close to Infinity War in the first place should be fired.
Bad idea.
That is incredibly stupid. Then you go to, you know, The Last Jedi, you could have easily pushed it back and rescheduled it easily.
Matt, here's so you remember when they had the, and I don't remember the exact date on this, maybe you know it, when they came out and they pushed all those shows and Lando came out.
Right.
And Lando was a show. So Kathy,
that was
now,
the Disney Investor Day, not this year, but last year.
So, and I'm just wondering how much time went after Solo where they sat there and thought, you know, clearly they were still on board, even after seeing the box office and everything that happened with Solo. That Investor Day happens later and they say, yeah, let's continue Lando. So yep. If you're willing to continue Lando, was it after that that she had this realization that, no, we've gone back and looked at the box office and then said, now we shouldn't continue with something like Lando? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that doesn't really make sense.
Great comment from Jordan here. I can just imagine someone walking down the hall from Infinity War production, hearing the release date and being like, you sure? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think it's incredibly unfair and disingenuous for her to say that it's like the problem with Solo was like Alden Ehrenreich, because
I generally feel like every
Star Wars fan I talk to, I mean, like Solo or whatever, like, or some people are just like, it's okay because it doesn't have Jedi and lightsabers and all that stuff. But like, I really have yet to meet an overwhelming amount of Star Wars fans that is like, my problem with Star Wars was Alden Ehrenreich. There's an entire enormous movement on the internet that's like, make Solo 2 happen.
Yeah.
But even still.
Right.
I just don't see how you can possibly make the correlation that the problem with that movie's box office return was Alden Ehrenreich and the casting.
Right. I don't remember a lot of people. I don't know. We kind of watched some of the critic reviews and different stuff, people coming out. Like, I don't know. You might have felt different about it. I don't feel like that was a huge thing. I don't know that. I think it just didn't get watched. I think people just didn't go see it, really, right. was the thing. I think people who do watch it later when it came out and you get it on Blu-ray or whatever, and when Disney Plus came out, people went and watched it. I feel like people go watch it and they say, hey, all right, it's a pretty cool movie. Like,
right.
I showed it to Lottie and she loved it.
Right. Okay. So let me share this screen here. Okay. So The Last Jedi had 91 from critics and has a 42% from the audience. So regardless of what the critics said, the audience hated it. I mean, yeah. 42% is not good. Like Solo, to be fair, the audience and the critics both have it in the 60s. So it's like, that's one of those. It's okay.
Right. Right. So I guess, what makes it clear? What was the indicator that says, yeah, we can't do that? Let me go back up to what exactly some of this exact wording, because it's just, I don't know. It worries me that, like, I'm wondering, like, what, because are we never going to then see?
Like, is it because in Rogue One, they didn't recast and they did the deep fake with, or, you know, whatever it's called with Tarkin and Leia, and they said, well, that movie did good and this movie didn't, and this movie did. See, here's my thing is I would rather them recast them. I mean, I love the idea that it is quite literally Mark Hamill doing it, but the problem, I guess, for me is I would so much rather it just recast, because there's just so much more you can do with it, because like, it looks weird in The Mandalorian. It looks a lot better in Book of Boba Fett, but it still just looks weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a cool moment, but it became less of a cool moment when Luke takes off his thing. I mean, it looks nothing like Luke Skywalker. Especially when you look at the two side by side, the Luke that we see in Mandalorian, I mean, it looks bad.
Right. Right. Yeah. 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 I know it's got some work and it's got some stuff there. We fan casted Ahsoka, you know, it's sort of like, there are other, what's the guy's name? He's in his Winter Soldier, right? I mean, he's the guy everyone was kind of rooting for to be the recasting for Luke Skywalker. Right. So yeah. I feel like that would have been a cool way to go.
Yeah. Yeah, right here. Hey, Anthony, I do not believe for 1 minute Solo had trouble because of The Last Jedi. Solo was not promoted as The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rogue One was. Those three had months, six at least or more. Solo had 3 months. I will say, remember the Super Bowl trailer? And it was like 20 seconds. It was literally just like the Millennium Falcon flying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Gosh, dude, I'm looking at some of this stuff. There's comments in here about...
There's a lot of stuff that came out of this thing today. I mean, there's a ton. We're just getting started, by the way, guys. There's so much Star Wars news that came out today.
Right. So here's some... Okay. So just for some good, I mean, like all this stuff with the Mandalorian and pushing Jon Favreau like into that role and saying, yes, go for that. And like, let's... And she went to him and they talked about this idea and stuff. That's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool stuff. This make me new characters type of thing is awesome. And then when it comes down to Luke Skywalker, I mean, bring Mark Hamill back if you can, but I just don't want them to shy away from doing more with that. Like, now I don't get my Luke Skywalker Jedi, you know, Jedi Academy and stuff. And it's just sort of like, then don't do anything else in that. And like, just, I mean,
right.
Like,
what would you rather? I mean, my thing is like, I'm fine with I don't know, dude. Things get recast all the time. Like, even if it's not like a direct continuation, like, I don't know. Like, I just.
Yeah. Right.
I guess my only thing is like, I would rather recast it and have it continued on. You know what I mean? Like, when I think of Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, yeah, I think of Ewan McGregor. Well, he was obviously, you bring him in to play a younger, God, I'm blanking on his name just because I have the other guy's name in my mind. Mm-hmm. Al Guinness, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, only because I was thinking of, but then you know who else is an awesome Obi-Wan? Is James Arnold Taylor, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Buddy, okay. So I'm just looking here. I want to read something to you that's kind of interesting. So just in regards to some of this Mandalorian conversation, because this is eye-opening, I guess. So the problem that Kennedy faced, they wanted to... Jon Favreau has this idea for The Mandalorian, has 4 episodes, whatever. She faced this problem where she's got another creator, Dave Filoni, who worked with George Lucas on Mandalore and Mandalorians. And remember, when the originals come out, like Boba Fett and Mandalorians were like, he was a bounty hunter, right? But George said, no, during the Clone Wars, they're pacifist. And everyone's like, wait, what? I mean, that's totally different from... And then George is like, hold on a second. You know, not everybody, you know... So I think it was like Jon Favreau or Dave Filoni said, that's very different than what everybody thinks they are. And he was like, well, you've got to remember that people are never just one thing. Cultures evolve. They change over time, etc. George just kind of does this, right? So Kathleen's thinking, okay, if Jon goes and does all this stuff with Mandalore, what are we going to do with someone like Filoni who's awesome? So where I give her credit, and I think you got to give people credit, and you, like Matt's doing, you got to call them out and say like, no, this whole bit about like recasting younger actors or versions of people, I'm with Matt on that. But I'm also for this whole... She set him down. She said, I decided, hey, let's exchange ideas. Let me sit Favreau and Filoni down and exchange ideas and drawings for Mandalorian show. They instantly got along, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. And then Favreau's idea for the child was the biggest sticking point. Gave us some pause. Kennedy said he and Dave debated that quite furiously, right? So, right. And then, yeah, the child, of course, ended up being a thing. So, like, there's a whole bunch of stuff on this. Like,
there's a lot. There's a lot in this Vanity Fair stuff with today and some of these other things that are coming out went way further than I thought they would. Should we right. talk about, should we shift gears here and talk about, let me get this one pulled up here. So because I think this sort of came out, this came out of this too, right? This leads the question of what's happening with the Star Wars movies. We have a roadmap, Kennedy says, although Lucasfilm's big screen return is unlikely to follow the same relentless cadence as before. A movie from Jojo Rabbit's Taika Waititi. He also did Thor.
Right.
But I know Jojo Rabbit was something that made him big too, but I don't know why they wouldn't just say Thor. Nonetheless, 1970 screenwriter Christy Wilson Carnes was likely to arrive first with Rogue Squadron from Patty Jenkins, right, who did Wonder Woman. Is it true that Marvel president Kevin Feige will produce a Star Wars film? I would love to see what movie he might come up with. Kennedy says, no, not right now. There isn't anything specifically. And the trilogy from The Last Jedi's Rian Johnson that was announced 5 years ago, back burnered. Rian has been unbelievably busy with Knives Out, and he's made deals at Netflix, which means that's never happening, which I'm fine with. I am in the camp. You know, some people like Last Jedi, and that's, I'm totally fine with that. I'm in the camp where I didn't. But I will say this, even though I did not like The Last Jedi, one of the things I did like about the movie is I thought it was a really pretty movie.
Absolutely, and I
think I think I'm in the camp where it's like, I would much rather watch a movie that he directs rather than a movie he writes.
Yeah.
But that's just my personal take. So I'm still giving him credit, even though I did not like The Last Jedi as a director.
Prior,
I do think that some people are better at directing than they are writing, which is actually my case with the difference of Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman 1984, is that Patty Jenkins wrote, who's going to be doing Rogue Squadron, she wrote 1984, which sucked. And like, I mean, critics and everybody kind of says that movie's not very good. The first one was phenomenal. She didn't write it, but so obviously she's a really good director. I think some people are just better at certain things.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, like one of the things too is that this is like, she says in this article as well, or someone does, I don't want to misrepresent here, but that the term trilogy maybe needs to bounce. Like they're going to move away from this idea of trilogies, because the problem with Rian Johnson's stuff and the problem with the sequels is simply they weren't all working together. There were different creatives. You know, the fact that she alludes to something, it's like, okay, Dave Filoni, who is beloved and everyone's, you know, freaking, you know, right. And then Jon Favreau, also an awesome dude, comes in and they get along and they work together and they have this sort of Jedi Academy of directors. That's cool. These are all professionals who have like their reputations. They want to come in, do their thing, whatever. Kathleen has to come in and make some big decisions. You know, the Ron Howard decision that she made for Solo, I think was a good one. So just based upon Alden, actually is the one, an actor rarely comes forward and says, hey, this is bad, this is not working, but he did. And he, at a risk of possibly losing his, you know, I don't know, cred or whatever. And he does that. Kathleen comes out. It's all good. My point, man, is that like Rian is what on a standalone, like a Rogue One or a Solo or something like that. Sure. But it just doesn't work. And like you said, it sounds like he wrote the thing before The Force Awakens actually came out. And stuff.
I have to find exactly where I saw it on Twitter today. I was trying to find a leak or something that was actually going to point directly to that. But yeah, it looks like that's a case too. And we've talked about that ad nauseum, that clearly they had no plan for the trilogies or for the sequel trilogy, because it just doesn't fit together. Whether you like certain movies or not, I think as a whole, I think everyone sort of agrees, man, it just feels like three different chefs in the kitchen, even though one of them is the same chef for two of the meals. It's like, it just doesn't fit together.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, so to sort of move off of that, and we can dive into some of the other stuff that came out today. I find it incredibly disingenuous that you're pointing the sole blame of Solo on recasting, when there are several factors, I think, that caused that. And first of all, let's not act like the movie didn't make money, right? I mean,
I'm pretty sure it
made $393 million, which, you know, for Disney is like a slap in the face, but for a lot of other studios, that would be like incredibly amazing. It did have a budget for $300 million, so it actually probably lost money. I mean, so I guess technically, yes, it did probably cost his money, but it's not like it didn't make a ton of money. I mean, $400 million plus merchandise and all that other stuff probably broke even.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, it made money. It was good. I think, yeah. And I'm like, I look at it and I watch it and I say, it's a good movie. I wish there was more context to her comment about why it's a no-go. Why is it, who said that? Star Wars fans? And maybe they did. Maybe I'm out of touch with a lot of different stars. I'm sure that I am, you know, which is fine. I love really, man, even like the last and the sequels and stuff, I can always find something that I like and I think is cool. And once you do it, I'm kind of like, be bold. You know, I brought up a point earlier about George Lucas saying, when he said to Dave Filoni, he said, hey, we're going to bring Darth Maul back. Hey, the Mandalorians are pacifist. Hey, I'm going to do what I want. And Star Wars fans are, he's Star Wars God. You know what I mean? Right. So if you're going to come in and do stuff, do it and put it right. Because like the prequels, all right, maybe they didn't get the best, whatever. Like, people love the freaking prequels, man. Like, I don't, there was that generation that was old and cranky about it or whatever. They're gone. They're not, like, it doesn't matter. And another cool thing here was like, okay, her whole, you know, let's make new stuff for new people. That's cool too. But
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree. I agree with you. I guess I don't know, you know, what, at the end of the day, I mean, a handful of things that cost that movie. I think the first one, again, I think more than anything was Avengers. I think that is just incredibly stupid. That's why you see movie studios move stuff around all the time. Then, you know, again, of course, I do think that The Last Jedi did cost it some bit. I mean, obviously I think that's up for debate, but I do think whether you liked that movie or not, I do think that it was pretty divisive amongst fans. So I do think that cost it a little bit, where some people may have had a sour taste. I think also, like, again, like, it's not just that it was next to Avengers. You know, if Avengers had been in November and this movie had still come out in December, that would have cost it. But I think also, we were not used to seeing Star Wars movies. We were at that point, we were getting more used to getting like two Marvel movies a year. I know like that had been the case, but it's like that had been the case with Marvel for like years and years and years. You know what I mean? With Star Wars, we felt like there was like, hey, this is too much too fast. Because it was new. We were talking about like the Marvelization of Star Wars, and this was the only time in Star Wars history that it's like, we got a movie and then we got another movie, you know, 5 months later. So it was a lot. I mean, it felt really quick. Like, even if Avengers had been in November and this had been here, that's another thing, just it being that close. So I think it was a compounding effect by all of those things. Even if this had been a Christmas, and I will say, just the idea of a Han Solo movie, right, to some fans, even if this had been at Christmas by itself, I do think that even that, like, if your expectation was that Solo was going to make as much money as like the other movies, then your expectations are off. Like, I think this had a cap. I don't think that this could have been a $1 billion movie in the first place.
Yeah.
Could it have been an $800 million movie? Absolutely. Right. But like, you had Avengers, and the fact that it was close, and the fact that there was some split between The Last Jedi, and, you know, like, it, the fact that it's a character that some people are questioning, am I even going to see this? And the lack of advertising, because all of your advertising is going towards Avengers.
Right. What would you say, like, Matt, when you look at Marvel movies and stuff, would you say that some Marvel movies are, their caps are higher and stuff, depending on who the superhero is and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. Right? 100%. I think, you know, when you do superhero movies, the different characters will do better than others. And I think that's one of the things Marvel is running into now.
Yeah.
That they weren't before. That's why I think why Guardians of the Galaxy was so, to me, is like the most impressive of the Marvel movies, is because Guardians was the first to pull characters that are like B to C level characters. Like Iron Man himself, actually, like, it's hard to think of now, but if you go back to like 2005, before that movie came out, Iron Man was like a B to C level Marvel character to the mainstream audience. Like, if you go back to 2005 and you just ask people on the street who their favorite superheroes are, it's going to be Batman, Superman, Spider-Man.
Right.
Or like maybe X-Men. Yeah, like Iron Man's down the list. Now, obviously, that's totally changed.
Right.
But yeah, I would say that, you know, like some of these things they're coming out with now, I think you're sort of hurt a little bit just because they're characters that people don't know. off the top of their head. It's why, like, when you recast Spider-Man, it's still probably going to make more money than doing a Blue Beetle movie. You know what I mean? That who's right. The Blue Beetle?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're saying. Cause I even remember, like, I was a guy who, when Iron Man came out, I was like, who? Right. Cause I'm more of a DC guy and I just didn't really, right. I mean, I did know him, but I wasn't right. really like, why is D such a big deal?
If you were to say, hey, we're going to release two Star Wars movies, which one are people going to go see more? One is a movie about Han Solo. The other is a movie about Darth Vader. Who are they going to go see?
Yeah. Darth Vader. Yeah.
Well, and how much of the advertising of Rogue One was Darth Vader?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, who's in the movie for like 5 minutes? I mean, like...
Yep. That kind of stuff matters. You know, one more thing. You've got this image up here, and I'm looking at Obi-Wan, okay? Ewan, right?
Right.
An act like a younger version of Alec, of the original yes. Obi-Wan. It's just so ironic to me that this is coming out, that this news about, we can't do that, you know. We can't recast. That's a no go kind of thing. And I know I'm kind of summarizing. I'm trying to. I don't have the exact quote here in front of me, but like that's wild to me, man. All the prequels were set up on this Obi-Wan. I know. You know,
George kicked out what's his name in Episode 6 to put in Hayden in the as a Force Ghost.
Yeah,
Sebastian Shaw, get out of here.
Right. You know, like it just said, deal with it. I mean, this is going to make sense for kids. His whole thing has been like, this is for kids. So I don't know. I just don't. I don't know, man. I'm nervous. I just don't. You have such a great character. You had a great Lando. You have a great Han Solo. I mean, right. And to not use them, a lot of our theories and speculation is that those characters might show back up again. And just to sort of say,
Lando's supposed to have his own show, but who knows now?
Now, I get if you don't want to do it going forward, like anymore kind of thing, maybe, except for like Luke Skywalker. I don't know how you get from.
I thought Donald Glover, by the way, also was a great young Lando.
It was amazing. He was amazing. So and it's just like they announced that well after Solo.
Right.
So what's the thinking? You know, like when did they come up with that? Conclusion is still
now. See, I guess like my thing is, I would rather them now. Look, if their plan for Luke was only to have him show up in like 5 or 6 moments throughout the entire sort of Mandalorian arc, then that's one thing, right? Like, you do the deep fake with Leia because it's you know, she's in Rogue One for like 5 minutes. I'm not actually opposed to the deep fakes. The problem is that she's using the argument as, we have to do deep fakes now because the recasting is what hurt Solo. That's the disconnect that is where we call the line on BS. Because she's not saying like, you know, she's basically saying like, the reason Solo was a financial flop is because we did the recast and that's why we're now doing it. I don't even think that's the case. I think that Dave Filoni is probably like, in his mind, he's like, well, why wouldn't I just use Mark Hamill? I mean, if I can get Mark Hamill to come in and play Luke Skywalker, I'm going to do it. And I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. If you told me you were doing a whole show with that, would I think that'd be weird. It would look weird.
Right.
It could still be good, but I think it would hurt it. I that's why I'm like, I'm for continuing with the deep fakes. I'm for recasting. I think recasting is the better option. I'm just not for you making up an excuse as to why you're doing the deep fakes, because you just don't want to potentially recast it and then get backlash either way. It's almost like you're sitting there saying, well, look, if we just do deepfakes, then nobody can say anything because it's Mark Hamill. But what I'll do is I'll just make up an excuse as to why Solo failed, as to why we're doing it. So then the people who are over there, it's like you're trying to appease everyone, which is the Disney way, which is, I mean, you know, that's what Disney does.
And see, that's where I think, that's why I love Dave Filoni so much. And I love what's in this article, even about his spirit, which is this is what I'm going to do. What is good for kids? What is good for storytelling? What's good for Star Wars? And just move forward in that direction. Forget all of the, I don't know. I feel like I know they have to make their movies and do their thing, but you wanted to work inside of these gaps, and that's what you've done. You've made your money there, and then you don't want to. I'm also cool with them going way away from the timeline and doing something completely different and saying, this is a new saga. Let's freaking go. Whatever. That's all fine and all good. But like, you want to try to write books and article or create more content around the Mandalorian and have these big epic things happen. And now Luke Skywalker is there.
Right.
You've done it. So now if you don't tell us what happened, it's sort of like, you don't want to do more damage to him. Like, we almost need more of him so that way we don't kind of continue to damage. Like, it's like, where did he go? Why is he not in this fight against Thrawn? Why is he not, you know?
Exactly. Well, also this article talks about like other Star Wars projects that were in the works, which are now canned. So like, again, it feels like the messaging is actually way less about, oh, hey, why are you using deepfakes instead of recasting? It feels like what you're saying is Solo was a financial flop in Disney's eyes, and we need to find, and I'm going to shift blame to saying it was because we recast him, which is also the reason that we decided that we're no longer gonna do trilogies. No, that's a lie too, because let me tell you why you decided to no longer do trilogies. You're no longer doing trilogies because the world entered a global pandemic that caused everyone to have to go to streaming. And as consumers across the board, Netflix, Disney, Amazon, Warner Brothers, all decided, we've all said as consumers, this is actually the content we want, right?
Yeah.
Would have continued with that had it not been for COVID. I guarantee it.
True. That's true. The game has changed. This article is very, very weird, because at one point they acknowledged that what brought them together around the Mandalorian was the wall, that volume. What's it called again? Like
the volume.
The volume. Okay. Right. So they say, okay,
season one came out, but pre-COVID.
Right. Yep. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. And so it was sort of like, what do they do? And they sort of scrambled to, we got to keep this thing going. They were launching their Disney Plus. This was the big thing to get people on Disney Plus. And I kind of always thought they were going to do, to some degree, keep this going or whatever. But like you said, they're still going to have their mega big hits, and they will, just not right now. And that's just that they're not unique in that, is what you're saying. It's like everyone's doing that. Everyone's saying, okay, no, we need to kind of like, you know, maybe shift to TV, shift to these series and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. This article is so weird because it just feels like just blame deflecting and like making excuses for like things that failed for reasons that have nothing to do with like hyping up the new Star Wars content. Like there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, like COVID hit and The Mandalorian was a success literally 2 months before COVID, essentially.
Right.
You know, and like our viewpoint on everything changed because streaming is now like kicking up and taking off. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And then saying, so we're going to change our strategy to fit the needs that like the people want. I'll tell you, it's a Disney thing, man. It is a Walt Disney Company thing where they just try to appeal to everyone. They try to appease everyone. They try to project this thing, whereas other companies don't do that. They own up to it. Warner Brothers is cleaning house right now. Just gone, fired, get out. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. They're smart people. You know, the crazy thing is, I mean, Kathleen Kennedy's worked on so many different big projects with so many different people and done so many awesome things. I think, you know, because if you read all, I did a little control F there and found everything that Kathleen Kennedy said on the article. And a couple of things that she mentions, you know, you said Acolyte, right? We've talked about her Acolyte series that she's well behind. She's behind The Mandalorian. I always try to give her credit for taking Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau, putting them down together and say, let's work on this and move forward. I want them to just go and, you know, go do their own thing. I guess my big question to her would be, are you telling me that we're not going to get a Luke Skywalker series? you know, we got an Ahsoka. Yeah, then the answer is probably. That is why I'm personally upset, because I'm like, and I also don't blame Alden. I think it's fine to recast. So many people and things, people do it. That, my God, dude, they do recastings when it's not even a younger, yeah, like a younger version. Someone died or someone's on trial, you know, with Amber Heard. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, geezy cow. I mean, just that's not. I don't know when it became abundantly clear that they can no longer do that. I wish that weren't the case, because
I can tell you it's not a money thing, because it's like, you don't want to hire like somebody. It's got to be more expensive to bring in Mark Hamill and do the deep fake technology, because you got to pay. I mean, maybe not. I guess you're bringing in like some $1 million actor or whatever. But like the whole deal is like, so you're saying that Disney started COVID. Well, if you watch South Park, that is the case, right? You know, as I've talked about this before too, 2019, right? The last year before the pandemic, Disney paid a cash dividend to its shareholders every year. And 2019 was the final year they did $2.9 billion that they are no longer paying out. And now parks are open and everything's sort of back to normal. So like that money's there that they're still just collecting $2.9 billion that they're now holding on to every year that they said, hey, we're going to use to make content. Like, so that's awesome. We are getting, look at all these Marvel shows and everything that's coming out. Like, I guess, I don't know. Like, it's just so weird. It feels like every time Star Wars makes a step forward, like, hey, we're going to go outside the box and we're going to do things like Visions, right? Which is awesome. I loved Star Wars Visions. Like it was such a cool thing. Then out of nowhere, we get this article which talks about a movie from like 5 years ago, and you're being like, "Well, that was actually the problem." Well, it's not the problem. You were the problem.
Yeah, the thing is, I almost wish it was like, I wish they were like, I wish she said, or that this article indicated that they were on the fence about this or something. But it seems like the way they framed it was as if like, nope, we're not doing this anymore. And it's like, dude, the whole freaking prequels is a young Obi-Wan, and it's a young Darth Vader. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's a whole prequel series. You know, it's just
the Rian Johnson thing has been like not talked about for so long. I had forgotten about it.
I figured it was over.
I did too. Like,
as far as wasn't even necessary. I kind of assumed that's just done. You know, you can say he's busy. That's a nice way of just saying, I think we're just kind of, he probably doesn't even want to do it anymore because of all of the ridiculous, the craziness. I guess I want to say to Kathleen too, like, I'm in the camp that loved that movie, and I want to say now they have access to so much more data and information and I don't know, maybe fan reactions or something, but I was not the fan reacting to Alden's acting. I thought it was freaking great. I thought Donald Glover did a great job. Such a good cast, and I just am mind boggled because I thought they were going to make Solo 2 happen. I actually thought that was going to be a thing at some point.
In our years of talking Star Wars, and I have been talking Star Wars on YouTube on, you know, various projects for like 5 to 6 years.
Yes,
I have. Honest to God, not met a single person, or at least that I can remember, on Twitter, on whatever, at Star Wars Celebration, which has been to multiple that ever said that their issue with Solo, because I've definitely met some people who are like, it's okay. Like, I've never really met anyone that's like, Solo sucks.
No.
Like,
no.
I mean, like, I use my mom as a reference, and I use, and Teresa, right? Like, who are just like the most casual Star Wars fans. Oh, there's a Star Wars movie. Okay, they'll flip on whatever and watch it. Like, you know, it's not they don't know, you know, what a Metachlorian is or Sith. And even the Sith and Jedi, that doesn't register. Good guys, bad guys, good movie, bad movie.
Right.
They love Solo. They're like, oh man, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's just fun. Like, it's just like, I've honest to God, cannot think of anybody that's like, Alden Ehrenreich was the problem with that movie.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, to her, I don't think she's saying I guess indirectly, but like she's not saying he was. I think, is she basing this off of like, what is it? Is it that one Solo thing? Because the article says Solo, it prefaces it all with Solo.
It's only because Solo is the only Star Wars movie that never made money. And her preference, or what she's saying ultimately, is that, like, you just can't capture the spirit of those characters, which is why is ultimately why Solo made less money, was because that's why we use deep fake technology now. So she doesn't flat out say Alden Ehrenreich was the problem, but you basically say that it's impossible to capture the spirit of Han Solo, and we use that now, and that's why that movie made less money. So basically you're saying, I mean, Alden Ehrenreich was the problem. I mean, there's just no other, like...
Yeah, you know,
to be fair, yeah. Donald Glover, who I thought was great as young Lando.
And again, I'll say it one more time, who they announce well after Solo is having his own series. So it just doesn't make sense. Is that canceled? I don't know if that's in here or not. Like, again, we're kind of coming home from work and diving in this article, but like, that would be unfortunate to me. And I hope she kind of means like in the future, like, we still could do Solo 2, we still could do Lando, but maybe going forward, we're not going to do like a younger version of, I don't even know, like who it would be, about Luke. I'm just thinking Luke, because that's the only one I can really think that is necessary. Like, that's a big tie through right there. That's big, you know, that's 30 years worth of like story. And they're just going to, what did Skywalker do? After, I don't know. That's a whole other thing. It's just like just kind of mind boggled right now.
I'm in utter disbelief that you would even, like, in the first place, that you would even, I guess, like, if you're asked a question on it, but I'm just in utter disbelief that you would even go down this road and open this can of worms. Why? What would possibly, like, especially, like, I don't know, man. I mean,
it's not even necessary to bring this up. You never even had to tell us in it. Like, because I just wanted my hope, like, to be alive that you're going to cast Luke or something.
Also, of like, of all the star, like, of the three Star Wars movies in a row that I think you could make legitimate arguments about as to why they weren't as well received by the fans. I mean, I guess you could, like, you go back to the prequel days, but now Ewan McGregor's like, kids loved it. And the prequels have totally come around, and everyone loves the prequels. And, you know, really the only people who are anti prequels are like the ultra hardcore, like, you know, Star Wars conventions been going since like 1977, like,
right,
you know, 0.1% of the fandom that still is on the case that the prequels sucked,
right? Crazy.
But like the sequels, like, okay, like, yeah, that was pretty divisive, whatever, like lowest Rotten Tomato scores by users, you know, across the board, whatever. So like you can say like 8, Solo, and 9 were ones that like very divided the fans, whatever. You want to go down that rabbit hole. Of all of the ones that talk about its failures, like Solo, as everyone's agreeing with us here in the chat, was so obviously like its box office failures have nothing to do with the movie itself, mm-hmm. and everything to do with like poor marketing, an idiotic choice of where to place the movie.
Right. Yeah.
And not a foresight to say, hey, people are a little like perturbed by The Last Jedi. Maybe we should move Solo back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost, why not bring that up? What, you know, that seems like something Bob Iger's already said too. Like that right. The timing of when he came out and said, we got to slow down.
And he has said that. That's right. What even makes it more interesting, because now it's Kathleen Kennedy saying, no, the problem was the recasting of Alden Ehrenreich. It didn't capture, well, the recast. She could be talking about Donald Glover too, but we couldn't capture the spirit of Han Solo.
Yeah. So the article says this too. So it's like, to keep minting fans, Lucasfilm must give new generations their own collections of characters to love and hate. Not every classic character can be brought back endlessly anyway. Kennedy is well aware of all of this now in The Mandalorian. Again, some of this is the writing of the article too. That is total. And they did the interview, correct? I mean, they did the interview. So
yeah,
I'm guessing. Okay. In The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett, Mark Hamill, 70, delivered performances as 30-something Luke Skywalker, but younger actors played Luke's body while advanced deepfake technology replaced the face. Bringing Luke to life is now a team sport, but that tech has its limitations. so does recasting. How does recasting Luke Skywalker have limitations? I don't think it does. I think it actually opens the door, and it's not a team effort anymore. Mark Hamill can come on and freaking direct the Luke Skywalker series for all I care. He can be in on it and do the. I love that he's doing that. This just seemed like to me like they weren't going to keep going with Luke Skywalker. Like, what are they going to do with it? Like, if Mark weren't here and Mark weren't like available to that or not well to do it, are they saying if Mark's not there, we're not doing any more Luke Skywalker at all?
See, you know? I know, and that's like my thing. I don't know, man. It's just the choices they're making are just so odd to me, and the way they're phrasing these statements as if like,
yeah,
I mean, again, I'm like. If Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau's plan is to only show Luke Skywalker like five times, right? Mm-hmm. In between now and the Avengers moment that it seems like we're building to with Ahsoka and everything, then I'm fine with you doing the deep fake technology with Mark Hamill, because obviously it's Mark Hamill, and that's like, I'm fine with that. Like, because you're not doing a whole deal. But if you were to say, hey, like, we want to do like a Star Wars, like Luke's Academy, but we can't recast him because we can't recapture the spirit, then that would be weird if your main character is like this, like half CGI deepfake. No matter how good the technology is, it's never going to be as the real deal.
Right. It's going to be tough to get. It's going to feel cold and it doesn't have the same
thing. I would rather it be animated and you just have Mark Hamill do the voicing, because Mark Hamill's like the best, you know, what, a top five voice actor of all time.
You know what, actually, I mean, honestly, yeah, doing an animated series too would be really cool. That's another thing that they could do, because there's just a story there for Luke Skywalker. There's definitely an academy. Grogu is like his student now. I just feel like there's no going back. I don't really know what you're going to do. Matt, let me read something else here too. So it's really, and what I struggle with this article is the author of it says Solo's swagger. This is the writer of the article, not Kathleen Kennedy.
Right.
Solo's swagger may be too singular for another actor to replicate.
And that then, is the direct, like, that's basically Alden couldn't do it.
And again, that's what I'm saying. You know, so then Kathleen says, so they're using her quote to back up that their statement of that there
their should statement.
Be moments along the way where you learn things. Now, then quote, she does say, now it does seem so abundantly clear that we can't do that. I would love to hear this. I would love to hear
the interview.
Yeah, because that just, I almost wonder, because it doesn't really make sense. I actually can't believe, it's hard to believe that. It's hard to believe they would even.
That she would say that
I would almost want to do a follow-up question, like, hold on, let me be clear about something,
right?
You know, because I don't think that's disconnected.
Because if Solo had made a bunch of money but everybody thought Alden's performance was bad, would you be saying that? See, I don't think that's the case, because The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker made a bunch of money, and a lot of people had issues with those, and you don't acknowledge them. What you do is say Ryan had a creative vision and all this stuff, and well, I was going to give him a trilogy and all this other stuff, and he's just too busy right now to come back. Not, we'd have moved on from Rian Johnson because of fan backlash of The Last Jedi that split fans. Some people love it, some people don't. No, that's not what you're saying. What you're saying is a cop out, and that's the whole deal. It's a cop out that she's base and that she's making this whole deal and saying Solo's financial failure is because of Alden Ehrenreich.
And the
recasting. It's a joke. It is an absolute joke.
Yeah, like, the recasting of younger actors, because that is just not the case. Flat out, it's not.
He was awesome. Like,
well, and again, this is on the doorstep of Kenobi. I'm sorry, I can't emphasize it enough. Literally, how did Ewan? Are you saying then that Ewan didn't recapture the spirit of Obi-Wan? Like, she's not saying that. I'm sure she's not saying that. But that's what all of this sort of implies, and that's what's all kind of muddled about this article that I don't really like, is is like, we had to go back and do the prequels. We've done those different things. I'm cool with us bouncing out and doing more, like I said, other Star Wars, you know, stories and stuff. But I'm also okay. I am totally cool if like Lucasfilm and people and whoever, I know there's some actors and there's some people who work in and among Lucasfilm who have come out on Twitter and said stuff about The Last Jedi. Like that's out there, right?
And Rise of Skywalker. It's both.
And who have defended it and whatever. It's okay to come out and say, we made a mistake. Right. And then, but I guess what went wrong there? What was the thing that went wrong? It happens. This was a new product for you guys. You fumbled the sequels, I believe, in a big way. I still love parts of them. I'm very happy that they're there for that generation. But it's what it is when you're doing an error analysis as a teacher and you're looking and saying, what did my students get wrong? What were the errors? You have to be able to identify exactly what those errors are to help them grow and learn. So if this is a misidentification in what the actual error was, that's a problem on the teacher or the leader in that group. And that's what I'm worried about with this article is like, is that exactly what it's saying? Because that I have a problem with. I don't agree that that's the error. Now, again, I don't have all the data. I'm just a guy sitting over here saying like, that blows my mind. I'm just a commentator saying that I am kind of blown away by that.
The other question it would cause me to ask is then what is her actual take on animation? Because there you're not using the same people. And so are you basically like saying that animation is like second rate? Because I beg to differ, because I think Dave Filoni has made some of the best Star Wars moments in that exist. And I can point to moments in animation that are phenomenal. I mean, the end of Rebels season two, right. Ahsoka, right. Maul, Vader, Ezra, right. Bridger. That's like one of the most awesome moments in Star Wars, right. In Clone Wars. Again, hey, Ahsoka and Maul, you bring them back. The end of Clone Wars season seven. And then even Anakin, where he's standing there and you get that moment. Like there's so many, a lot of the Bad Batch has some pretty good Star Wars moments, man. I mean, Kamino being destroyed, like there's a lot of really good stuff there. And are you then saying that that's not recapturing, that's not capturing the spirit? Because if you view live action as, you know, we don't want to use Alden because he's not Harrison. And we can't recapture it. So like that just doesn't give you the as quality of a product. Then you're basically saying that any animation is like total second fiddle, which I mean, like, yes, we kind of already, I guess, in theory view it as like, well, it's obviously not the thing. Like it's there's great stuff there.
In the hierarchy of things, right? You've got your movies, then your Disney right. Plus TV shows, probably the same tier,
right?
And then you've got your animated stuff, right? I think those even sometimes trump the books and the comics,
and, right? And you're also working for a company that built its entire legacy on animation,
yeah.
And it's a company that, like, when you think of Disney, the first thing you think of is like big Disney animated movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, like she does now, to be fair, she does not even outright say that.
No, she does not. And then you have to know.
It's pretty easy to infer that that's also some of what you're saying here, because you're flat out saying, hey, if we can't recast these characters because they just can't recapture the spirit.
Matt, I would also be pretty mad. I don't know. Like, I don't know how this all works. You know, like if Vanity Fair has to send this article over there and they like had to read this first and then say back to them, hey, like actually the context on this is a little off.
Right.
You know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I wonder, because if that wasn't the case, I feel like you would have a chance to say, hey, hold on a second, that you're taking a little of this out of context. So I don't know if I don't know how these things work exactly. Just commentating. But Matt, one more thing. You mentioned the spirit of the characters. Here's the problem. And I know it was early Disney product, Lucasfilm product, under Disney, the sequels. But you want to talk about some missteps and some fumbles with the spirit of the characters?
Yeah.
Han Solo leaving Leia.
How about Luke Skywalker doing this with a lightsaber?
Yeah, letting Luke pull a lightsaber on his nephew, on his family, and with all the power of Grandmaster Skywalker. I'm sorry, like, that is unbelievable. Like, some of those things are such big missteps from character. I think it was like, you know what, I saw this the other day. This is on TikTok. It was a Mark Hamill interview around that time where I sent it to you, where he kind of came out and said, hey, you know, I thought what would be a great idea is if, like, when Han Solo is, if you're going to kill him in The Force Awakens, wouldn't it be pretty significant if, like, I was there and maybe Leia, you know, were there or whatever, that the trio was back together and we saw him get killed versus some girl and some guy who just met him 20 minutes ago. I mean, yeah, Chewbacca's there, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they had good ideas. And so some of that spirit wasn't necessary. That's a whole another topic in conversation. But like you said, Matt, those made money, so they're not brought up in this article, right? Yeah. So I hate to say, I mean, because I love them to a degree. I really do. I love Rey. I freaking love Rey as a character. I was so rooting for that character to be something more. I wanted her to be a freaking Skywalker. I just wanted her to be Luke's daughter.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you a serious question.
Yeah.
If the Acolyte flops, right? If the Acolyte flops,
yeah,
what's going to be the argument then? Because that's like Kathleen Kennedy's big deal. If the Acolyte comes out and it sucks, I'm just saying, I hope it doesn't. But if it doesn't, what is going to be the argument then? Because right now there's this other thing that takes place like 100 years before Star Wars, and no one cares because you are doing, another bang up awful job at promoting it, and it's called the High Republic. I couldn't tell you if the High Republic is good or not because we never hear anything about it because you don't promote it.
Yeah, I know it's I don't know. Like I do kind of wonder what is going to happen. You know, I've almost been like, I kind of think what's always been exciting about Star Wars, I'm sorry, they're going the wrong direction. In my opinion, I know that seems kind of like I'm talking about this article and everything else, and she talks about a roadmap. But Matt, instead of going back in the timeline, they actually should have been going forward. You want to project this thing 100 years in the future and do something else or continue with Rey or what? Like, what we care about is a story that goes forward and ties that pushes forward. When you go backwards, sometimes you can lose. I'm not all the time, but like, you can lose people a little bit. They want to know what. Why was the EU so popular? Because you loved Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Leia, and you wanted to know what happened to them moving forward. So
Well, let me tell you something. Like, you know what people actually love? People love good characters.
Yeah.
Right. And like, I guess maybe this is their thinking, where they're like, we don't like, people love Luke, people love Han. I'm not saying it's correct. So like, we don't want to tarnish that because I don't know. Like with the High Republic, it's you introduce all these brand new characters and nobody cares about them. But they did. They made two video games and it literally blew up the Old Republic because you introduce one awesome character who's only in one of the games. Dark Revan's only in one of the games. But you introduce this character that everybody immediately fell in love with. Like, and so you don't have that. So I think maybe they're really banking that people are really going to like this Acolyte show, but I don't know that you can say that because I think Marvel, has been misfiring ever since post of Endgame. I think Marvel has, like, some of the shows have been good. Don't get me wrong, but a lot of the movies, I mean, Doctor Strange just tanked at the box office. We talked about this yesterday. It's like Batman versus Superman level drop off. You and I both liked Moon Knight for the first few episodes and it got kind of weird. I mean, Oscar Isaac was amazing, but kind of weird.
Yeah.
People are really split on like Black Widow, Eternals. Yeah.
Right.
The best movie they didn't even do. I mean, that's a Sony movie. So this is like Star Wars time to shine. Like the door is wide open. Step up to the plate and knock it out of the park. I'm not saying Kenobi isn't going to, but like Book of Boba was already kind of like, it was a little weird. It was cool, but we felt weird coming out of it. And then now you drop all this useless information that does nothing but immediately sour the taste of like a meal that we were getting ready to have and get so excited for. It's like you're hungry all day and you're so ready for like to have a great meal, and then you like eat an appetizer that just like ruins the whole thing. And it's like, we should be right now being pumped for Kenobi, and instead you're blasting Alden Ehrenreich and saying he was the problem and why Solo didn't make money.
Right. Yeah. Like that part should have just been left out of this whole thing, because it's like Star Wars, the rebellion will be televised. You know what I mean? It's like, that's awesome. So it's like, okay, Obi-Wan, Andor, Ahsoka, all these things are happening. And that's great. I don't think you even needed to bring this up. It was so unnecessary.
Look at this picture right here. It's, Hayden Christensen wearing the suit and lightsaber. Yeah. It's freaking sweet.
It's sick, man. And I'm like, again, I'm happy that they're doing this. And again, I just worry about, I hope Kath, I get Celebration's coming up and some things are going to be mentioned. You know what I mean? She's going to be on the stage talking about stuff, introducing stuff. Maybe she'll get a chance to say more. Maybe they'll have her on the stage and talk to her about stuff. Like, I hope one of the hosts, they probably won't do it, directly ask her, are you going to make Solo 2 happen? Because if she does that, then I guess I would understand, like, okay, if you're going to do that, then you're saying, look, we already did it. We're not going to, you can't undo it. You know what I mean? And like, you know, I guess just going forward, you don't want to show me a younger Leia, maybe in between episodes 6 and 7 or something like that. Like, that's okay, I guess. Because you already kind of, with what you did in the sequels, she really just was in politics, and you could just say, well, New Republic business, whatever. But
yeah. I just want to pull up some more just because I want to see like what everyone is saying. Let's just pull up to Twitter here. Yeah. Solo. The problem with Solo was not the casting. Retweet if you think Alden Ehrenreich was awesome. Solo was fun. Let me pull this up on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem with Solo. I just typed in Solo, seeing whatever comes up. The problem with Solo was not the casting, right? Make Solo 2 happen. Solo was fun. Alden Ehrenreich did my favorite Star Wars character justice the entirety of my TED talk. Thank you. Jason Fry, who wrote, like, right? Didn't he? The guy who wrote?
Yeah.
He wrote that book I've got back behind me.
Like, what?
Yeah, dude. It's like, the movie is criminally underrated and the acting was phenomenal. This is why Solo 2 happened, trends a few times a year. Alden captured the spirit of Han Solo and the heart of the movie. It's about friendship, which is why Han always stuck around in the OG trilogy.
Yeah, Matt. So I hope there's some clarity, because again, if you're going to admit to mistakes, then this was, maybe there's a miss. Like, again, I'm trying to read her words exactly what she says. You know what I mean? Because I know there's the article context around it. But it's just like, there should be moments along the way when you learn things, end quote. Quote, now it does seem so abundantly clear that we can't do that. It's like, you have to then, what is that connected to? You have to go back to what the article writer said, which was 3 to 4 lines, knocking Solo, a 2018 right. movie.
Let me look up. Here's the first actual criticism of Solo I've seen on Twitter, okay? The problem with Solo is that they couldn't just let it be a Han Solo adventure. It had to be a don't you want to know everything about Han's origin movie. Then you scroll down, he has his own comment. I thought Alden Ehrenreich was pretty good. Right. So like, even somebody who didn't like the movie is saying Alden Ehrenreich was good.
Right. And so I feel like this is something we're off. Like, we're missing. I don't know. If I were her and this was not what she meant, and this is not something that's being taken out of context by the writers because a lot of clicks are going to Vanity Fair right now. Right. I'm just saying that
I'll give this guy credit too. If you legitimately want to throw like shade or just say like, hey, this is what I didn't like about the movie, I will give you this. I will totally give you this as a point to agree with it. And this guy said he actually, you know, this guy sort of said he had some problems with the movie, but said he liked Alden. You know, it was when Don't You Want to Know How Han Got His Last Name sort of like became tedious and boring, when he's like Solo or whatever. OK, like, it was a truly baffling movie in a lot of ways. Like, who is this person? Who is the person who thought, you know what people are really interested in? These dice. How did Han get these dice? Whatever. But like, this guy, like, whatever. Then he goes on to talk about this other stuff. But like, there's a guy who didn't like the movie, which is fair. I'm fine with people providing, you know, legitimate criticism for the movie. Like, that's fine. But like, even he says, I thought Alden was great. So now it's like we just found somebody who said he didn't like the movie, but his problem had nothing to do with recasting.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, air analysis is really important. I sometimes you just don't want to be, you don't want to, you know, mention that it's something as simple as like it being going head to head with Infinity War. If that's all it was, that's all it was. Cause once people watch it, I think they like it. I think fans liked it. Like the critical reviews, it had a bunch of stuff. It could have been a train wreck. Kathleen, let me say this, Matt. Kathleen Kennedy did come in and apparently saved it from being an absolute train wreck. Okay. Right. Because Ron Howard stepped in. She brought him in. She made the executive decision to fire those guys, Lord and Miller, and Alden and all the cat. They were like, this is a train wreck. It's not going well. And so she brought in Ron Howard. He did his thing. So that's a good move. Right. And that gives us a solid movie. But now in your reflection upon it, and I hope this is not the case. I hope this is wrong. I hope we're not actually like, I hope we're off on this. If somebody says, so Jordan just said, I'm watching Solo tonight.
dude, I love that movie. Love that movie.
You gotta be careful with your air analysis. You know, it's the knee jerk reaction stuff where it's like, this is not knee jerk, right? This is like,
look at this. Cause I'm on Twitter and here it comes up. Boom. Anthony, who's actually in our chat, and this was on my feed. This wasn't even like on my feed. It was on the search. So shout out to Anthony, right? Real farm boy. In my opinion, Solo not nearly had enough promotion, not near close to what, you know, the Last Jedi, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rogue One had, right? Solo started in February before, Denny's and right, before people had any idea what was going on.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Because
as
you see sometimes with movie studios, the promotion for movies, like how much did we see for Secrets of Dumbledore? Until after the Batman, not a lot,
right?
So then Secrets of Dumbledore got like 2 weeks, which again, that movie sucked, but to be fair, it's still like a Harry Potter movie. It's still
yeah I know man. Okay. Hold on, when you type
last thing about like Kathleen Kennedy's comments about this, and then we can move, because we've talked about it for over an hour, but it's egregious, right? And then we can talk about some of the other Star Wars news, because there's actually a lot of cool Star Wars news today, too.
Yeah. And again, I keep trying, because, guys, we always want a balanced show. OK, like I'm trying to say, like, I don't want to just go gun ho like this is awful. But right now, the way
it was pretty egregious. Egregious. Right.
When you type in, you know, let me go back here. When you type in Kathleen, I just typed in Kathleen Kennedy. It's all I typed in Google. The top articles are IGN. Star Wars is now about persistent storytelling, not trilogies. Okay, that was one thing that came out of this. IndieWire, IndieWire said Kathleen Kennedy. This is the headline to the article. Kathleen Kennedy says Solo bomb was a learning lesson. We can't recast. That's their headline. Collider: Lucasfilm will no longer cast new actors as young versions of characters. Like, those are big organizations that commentate on the film industry at on a big scale, Matt, and their interpretation of it was, this is what she said. So that's where we're at. Until we get more clarity on it, that's the conclusion they're coming to. And I'm just sort of baffled by that. And I hope we're all wrong, quite frankly. Anyway, all right, yeah, we can move on. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. There's a lot of weird, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on at Disney right now. Cause I forgot to tell you about this. Cause you know, I follow all the stock news cause I like it. Right. There's a lot of stuff going around that Bob Chapek and Bob Iger like have reportedly had like screaming matches, and they no longer get along, and Bob Chapek's leaving the company. He's like CEO. Bob Iger is like still kind of like, he sort of stepped back from CEO, but he's still like kind of involved in a lot of big stuff. Right. He's basically like the Palpatine of Disney right now,
right?
Where he's like, he's not really in charge anymore, but he's sort of sitting there.
Somehow he returns day in, day out.
Yeah. And there's all this stuff. So there's no leadership at the top. Feige's in trouble. Marvel's not, you know, it's not hitting the same way it used to. And then you got Kathleen Kennedy fumbling footballs when we don't even need to. What is going on at Disney right now?
Right. Well, it's crazy. I mean, it's wild because we're like, that's happening, and you got Kenobi coming out. You got The Mandalorian. Book of Boba Fett was okay. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So it's like, I mean, we just said yesterday that we thought, ironically, Star Wars was in a better position than Marvel.
I know.
And it's literally just come down
to this, we know
right that right one article can be so revealing, because the problem there, I go back to it, is that air, if the teacher can't analyze the air properly, they can't correct it, you know. And so that's the problem anyway. So I yeah, the whole other stuff with Bob Iger is interesting too. That's gonna be a whole other layer to what's going on. You hope the creatives just get in there, get behind a good story, get behind a good idea. The Mandalorian is going in the right direction. I love the inclusion of Luke Skywalker and Ahsoka, Thrawn, Ezra Bridger. All those things are great. I want more and more and more of that. That's a good thing. The Acolyte, I will root for like crazy. I want that to be awesome. I actually hope that in the hints, there's a lot of hinting in this Vanity Fair article about other projects. A lot of it's TV, but right. Still, I know it's the Acolyte, but I think, you know, whether it's this celebration or next celebration, you get back to your trilogies at some point and you launch the next big thing. Like, you've got to go beyond the timeline or something. Right. I don't know.
I don't even know that you have to have a trilogy. I just think right now it just doesn't feel like Star Wars has any, I mean, it does and it doesn't. I just don't feel like there's a clear direction in Star Wars as much as I do with Marvel. Like Marvel, it's like things happen in phases and they've gone back in the past, right? Mm-hmm. But like with Star Wars, it feels like I would much rather them just say, as much as I love the Bad Batch and like I'm excited for it and the possibility of a Lando show, I would rather have, and like the High Republic could be cool. I just need to get into it more. I would much rather them all just like stop all the other stuff and say, hey, you were going to do, everything is going to be around the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
It would just feel way more concise. It wouldn't feel all over the place.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's because it just feels like it feels, I don't know, man. It feels all over the place right now. It's like we went from Mandalorian, which is sweet. It's its own thing. And then we go to then we get Clone Wars ending. So we go here. Okay, here. Now we've ended Clone Wars. Then we go back to Mandalorian season two. Then we go to Bad Batch. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to Boba Fett. Now we're going back to Kenobi. Then we're going to Mando season. No, then we're going to Andor. Then we're going over here. Then we're going back. I would just much rather it all just be like one like thing, man. Here's where we're going. It's all going to be post three or post this. It's hard. I think it's hard for the general audience to
know where,
when is this?
It is very hard. That's one of our top questions, you know, honest to God. So we have a lot of, I'm a teacher. We have a lot of kids. We have a lot, like a younger audience who are coming in saying, hey, when's this happening? Where's this falling in the timeline? An older audience that doesn't, like you said, the general audience too, is just sort of like, where do these things happen? Solo in particular. I remember when the Solo came out, I was going to the theater and I had a shirt on and I had like a Solo promotional thing or something. Stopped at like a freaking Bob Evans, right. I think on the way up to, I think I was going to see Rebel Force Radio live in Cleveland or something. And like this guy was like, he had no idea when, you know, this was supposed to take place or what the whole deal was going to be here. So that's kind of baffling. You know, it's just, it's like people need a direction. You know, Jordan has a comment here. Star Wars does not have an in-game sort of, you know, line of thought, right? It doesn't have this, it's not on this course that's going to land us in some awesome spot. Like, I mean, they mentioned the Thrawn movie trilogy or something. The Mandalorian Mandoverse has the most potential to do that and to get everybody around that. You know, the next Marvel movie that comes out, everybody goes to the theater so they know what's the next thing that's happening. How does this then tie into everything else that we've already had? The Acolyte doesn't tie into the Mandoverse, right? I mean, like Kenobi won't necessarily tie into any of that stuff. It's cool when it stands on its own, but that's really all it does. So
right. Yeah. Right.
But
yeah, don't know. Okay, let's shift gears here. talk about some stuff that is exciting, I guess. So Project Grammar Rodeo. So this is one of, you know how a lot of these have like code names and stuff like that.
Okay.
Another new series on the horizon doesn't even have a title. It's a code name, Grammar Rodeo, a reference to an episode of The Simpsons in which Bart Simpson and his schoolmates steal a car and run away for a week, using a phony educational event as an alibi. The show takes place during the post Return of the Jedi reconstruction that follows the fall of the Empire, same as Mandalorian, but its plot remains a secret. It's created by John Watts and writer Chris Ford, who made Spider-Man Homecoming for Marvel. A casting notice has called for four children around 11 to 12. Inside Lucasfilm, the show is being described as a galactic version of the classic Amblin coming-of-age adventure film of the 80s. So that new show, we've heard nothing about. I mean, I think like we've heard Grammar Rodeo before, like the, but there's been nothing on it. So here's a Star Wars kids doing stuff. Give me a Star Wars Stranger Things. I mean, not, you know, whatever, but like that was the best part of that show. It's like the kids and they're, you know, and they're out having adventures on their bikes. I mean, obviously then they fall into like this dimensional warp to like a demonic realm. Don't necessarily know if we need that, but I'm down for a young adventure.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I am too. I am as well. It's I'm just looking back at all the shows that were announced, you know, and I'm just thinking like all these shows. Yeah, this wasn't one of them, right?
Right. No.
No.
This one had been. This one has been rumored, though. This one has definitely been rumored.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. I mean, you know, I'm all for this because again, I just said I want the Mando verse to fill up. I want us to kind of put all of our eggs in that.
This is in that realm.
Right. And if it's young kids, if it's four children around 11 to 12,
this to me seems all new characters.
Right. Yeah. So that would be kind of cool.
Is there any character that we know who would fit into this?
11 to 12 years old. How old is?
But they could be playing. They could be playing slightly younger characters. Slightly. A lot of times they're off. They over sort of age these kids. So the kids may be around 11 to 12 that they cast, but they could be like 9 or 8.
Right. So the thing
only one
is
I can think of is Jason Solo.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could have
not Jason Solo. I'm sorry. Jason Syndulla.
I was thinking. Yeah. I was totally thinking Jason Syndulla. And depending on where you put it, I mean, like, is this just right after Return? Is it like around the Mando timeline? All that will kind of matter too to figure out who those characters could be. Because Ben Solo, that might be too young, I guess. But it depends on where they go. Are they going to go a little? Is it going to fit? That's the other thing too. Because with those new shows and Ahsoka, it's like they almost are happening together. It's like a story that kind of takes us, you know, just like in Marvel, it's like, okay, we know this was 6 weeks later, or this was like, you know, 3 months later. There needs to be help with that timeline and moving us along. Is this a part of that? So
I think this sounds like it could be cool. I'm fine if it's all new characters.
And I think it may be like I quite honestly, I'd be cool if it were freaking, you know, four children who wanted to be recruited into the Jedi Academy. That's personally where I want it to go. It's probably not based upon everything we just learned today. So, but yeah, that's cool. And then you have Spider-Man guy, Chris Ford, right?
Unfortunately, that is, I think, the weakest of the Spider-Man MCU movies.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, I mean, Spider-Man Homecoming was okay. I didn't think it was. Yeah. No Way Home.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I think Far From Home was better, too.
The one
with, what's his name? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Okay. Let me see what else we've got here. So there was that. There's the Vanity Fair pictures. The other one I had, the other big sort of thing, is a potential leak. Do we want to dive into that?
Oh, it's a leak. Okay. Well, yeah. We can also. Interesting. We could do. I know which leak you're talking. You're talking about. We can just tell folks what the leak is. We probably won't maybe go into it. So because we have people who are, you know, we're live right now.
We're alive. We're alive. Well, here, let me just, is there anything else here? No,
they are saying
the only other big thing was, is this sort of rebellion thing.
Yeah. So there's a, I think we mentioned it a little bit, but Taika Waititi's film is going to be the next big franchise film. I guess that was kind of his mystery film.
Because his next big movie is Thor: Love and Thunder, which comes out in a month and looks freaking awesome. So I am very excited for him to have a Star Wars project. And we have no idea whatsoever that what that's going to be. When, where, or what.
No clue where that's going to take us. Do you think the Rian Johnson trilogy is really canceled? I just saw here Collider saying it's just delayed. They're saying it's just delayed.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those things that it just gets delayed for so long and then it dies. The only way it will continue is if he has an actual contract to do them.
Okay, and then Dan and Dave, D&D, they were going to do a Star Wars thing. Remember that back in the day?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that's the kind of, like, see, you forget about, like, I think that's what you're saying, right. Ryan, it'll go to the point where it's like, oh, yeah, way back in the day they said he was going to do a thing, and then it's just, it's not.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You never know, though. Sometimes those projects sit dormant for an incredibly long time. I mean, The Mandalorian was supposed to be, remember, like, it was, like, 2005, and it was George Lucas is going to be doing a Star Wars TV show.
True.
And that's what that ultimately, like, sort of ended up becoming.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, good point. Yep. So, and there was going to be a book. There was going to be a Boba Fett like standalone film. They thought about doing that for a while, and then
Right. So. Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe we'll save the leaks for an extended edition, because we have already talked about them a little bit, and then we could sort of do that for an extended or something.
Right.
I haven't even looked through them yet. We may not, because it may just be what we've already covered.
I'm all for that, because also I think I've lost my visual, you know.
It's okay. I just having technical difficulties. It's Kathleen Kennedy's hacking in, because she's like, these guys are in here.
Shut this guy off.
shut this thing down. Awesome. So awesome. All right. Well, Ez is having technical difficulties anyway, so that's a good place to stop. But yes, ridiculous. Make Solo 2 happen. I am still a absolute big believer in that movie. Because I loved Solo 1 and I thought Alden Ehrenreich was absolutely nothing short of fan. Fantastic. So thank you guys for coming to hang out. Thank you guys as always for watching and listening. Remember, you guys can find us anywhere on the internet, Hyperspace Hangout. Find me anywhere on the internet, Super Gains Bros, as at WompRat_2M. We are on TikTok, right? And we have all sorts of extended content you can find on Patreon, Apple Premium, as well as some of our other shows. We talk Game of Thrones with Ben the Knee. We talk Wheel of Time, Heroes of the Horn. We talk all kinds of stuff. So as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening. And remember that traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops.